Welcome to the Secrets of the Lac du Salut Trail podcast. Hear from Chris Stowers and Danny Wenchikoy on the behind-the-scenes experience of making the documentary.
Hello, everyone. I'm Danny Wenchikoy. I'm the travel writer and radio host in Taiwan.
Hi, I'm Chris Stowers. I'm a photographer from England, also based now in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. And today we have a guest with us from Singapore. Andrew, tell us a little about yourself.
Hello, Danny. Hello, Chris. My name is Andrew. Hi. And I'm a radio DJ with Mandarin radio station UFM 100.3. I believe I'm here today because I'm Hakka.
Oh, really? Wow, that's cool. I'm Hakka too.
Right, proud Hakka, right? Yeah. But the thing is, well, you see, when I was young, my maternal grandma takes care of me and she speaks Hokkien with me. So I can speak Hokkien and I know a bit about Hokkien. But I don't speak Hakka and I find that I don't really know a lot about Hakka culture. And I find that that's a missing piece in my life. Yeah, so I'm here to learn all about Hakka culture from you too.
That's cool.
Mostly from Danny, I think. I've been learning from him too.
Yeah. One thing, you just mentioned that you're Hakka, right? But you don't speak Hakka at all.
I don't.
You don't. Okay, so maybe we can take this opportunity to get some lesson. What do you think?
Well, you certainly can.
You know what? The only Hakka phrase I know was, in fact, taught to me by my mother, who's not even Hakka, and it was, I'm not sure how bad it is, Tai Fan Su.
Huh?
Tai Fan Su. Tai Fan Su.
Tai Fan. Oh!
I know I'm not getting the enunciation right.
It's very similar to the Mandarin, right?
Right, I think so. It's to describe someone as a potato or something.
Yeah. Da Fan Su. Tai Fan Su.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hakka, actually, the pronunciation is Tai Fan Su.
Tai Fan Su.
Yeah, it's like a this sweet potato.
Right, on what occasion would you use this expression?
It's like sometimes say silly, something like that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so I'll correct my mom.
Fun fact, Hakka food is characterized as salty, fragrant, and umami. Rice, pork, tofu, and soy sauce are staples of the cuisine.
Remember that we went to the Hakka town? We have so many Hakka cuisine, right?
Yeah. Oh, every time we went to, we seem to always go to a restaurant that would proudly serve Hakka dishes, right?
Yeah. So normally before we are going to start the meal, we go, we used to say the bon appetit, right? But in Hakka, we would say the word called ship pon.
Ship pon. And I believe Mandarin will be 吃饭.
Yes, exactly.
Am I getting it right? Ship pawn.
Ship pawn.
Ship pawn.
Yes, I'm really good. Yeah. What about you, Chris?
Ship pawn.
Ship pawn.
Ship pawn.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Well, when you when you finish the meal, you might say, "Oh, it's really good," right?
Yeah.
Normally, you say very delicious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We will say whole shit.
Whole shit.
Whole shit.
Whole shit.
Yes, which means very delicious.
That sounds a little like Cantonese to me.
That's right. You know, sometimes the people always mention about the Cantonese and the Hakka, they had the similarity together. For me, because I used to work for the Hong Kong, TV station, so it's very easy to learn the Cantonese.
I think it's interesting. I'm not sure if it's because of exposure. For example, I don't know Cantonese too, but if I listen to it, I can guess something that's not too far from the original meaning. But if I listen to Hakka, for example, in Taiwan, I'm on the train, and I listen to it, and I totally don't understand what's going on. It sounds a bit different from the other dialects, right?
Yes, that's
Welcome to my world.
Fun fact, Lei Cha Fan is a traditional dish among the Hakka people. The dish is essentially a bowl of rice filled with a medley of chopped greens and served with a fragrant side of soup made from ground tea leaves and fresh herbs.
How often you come to Taiwan?
Oh, many times.
Did you ever actually come here just to eat food?
Oh, yes, of course.
When you come here for food, would you be able to classify Taiwanese food and then Hakka. What's Hakka food?
I only classify as good food and not so good food. This is tasty. This is not so tasty. But I mean, the odds of finding, not so tasty food in Taiwan is quite low.
I knew that in Singapore also had so many Hakka, right?
Yes. Not as common as I would think. For example, you don't really see Lei Cha Fan everywhere.
Oh, really?
Compared to other dishes, you don't... I mean, I see more of it nowadays, but compared to the more common dishes, I mean, compared to chicken rice, you see a lot more chicken rice than Lei Cha Fan, for example, in Singapore.
Mm. But you know what? When I was a kid, there's no Lei Cha Fan in Taiwan. It's only happening in these 20 years.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Interesting, right?
Never seen Lei Cha Fan in Taiwan, actually.
Maybe, yeah, it's like a, just like a recently, you know, getting more and more popular. And also our laicha with Singapore, you guys, the laicha is slightly different.
Okay, mm-hmm. The thing about laicha fan for me is that, you know, when I was a kid, I hated vegetables, like many kids. and laicha fan was just...
Put everything together.
yeah, lots and lots of vegetables, lots of greens. And the first time I tasted laicha fan, I did not know how to appreciate it because I was too young. Mm-hmm. And I ate it and it was like, very, too much vegetables, too leafy. But mm-hmm. I grew up, I matured, and I realized that vegetables is good for you.
Yes.
And then I had laicha fan again, and then I learned how to appreciate the different layers and the different, you know, texture, all these different ingredients coming together. And it's very healthy as well.
Yes, very good.
Mm-hmm. What I found, Danny, though, is that Hakka people, not just in terms of food, but they're very adaptable, right?
Yes.
Because they moved from China and they came here. Mm-hmm. Does the food change as well with regions? That's maybe why Andrew has different tastes that he comes across in Singapore, is because when they arrived in Singapore, the Hakka people just naturally adapted and drew in different influences.
Yeah, right, yes. So that's why actually in Taiwan, you know, as I mentioned, that is that when I was a kid, we don't really have the laicha fan. You know, mm-hmm. but nowadays you will see more and more, you know, and also because the regional is different. So our laicha is a little bit turned to be like a, right now it's like a drink, a snack, you know, we don't put on the rice together. It's pretty much like with the old kind of nuts together.
Mm, it's that drink, isn't it? The green.
Yeah, and also a little
tea.
Bit sweet, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that one, actually.
Yeah.
So what's the difference? Do you know? Because in Singapore, well, there's the part that's made with the tea leaves, that's the soup,
yeah.
right? And so you can have it dry or you can mix it together.
Right, you make by yourself and mix together, yes.
Mm-hmm. Or like with all the ingredients, like some people would pour the soup in. What I'll do is I'll eat it dry and I'll drink the soup at the same time. So that's my preferred style of eating. Like, is it like that in Taiwan as well?
We had it all mixed in together, didn't we?
Yeah. Because that one we have is already mixed together.
Yeah.
Is it a Hakka thing to like put everything, just throw everything into one bowl? Is it a Hakka, you know, food culture?
Well, basically, actually, I would say that, you know, back in the old day, you know, because the Hakka people is... Our living condition is a little bit hard, I would say that. So that's why our, you know, like ancestors always told us, like, you know, you have to, let's put it this way, like, you have to be grateful with everything. So whatever you have, you know, if you finish, you cannot finish, okay, you have to save for the next meal. And when you come with the next meal together, you know, it's just like a little bit this, little bit that, so everything put it together so you still can finish it, you know. So that's the point.
Well, it's even like the rice balls. We went to one small settlement where the old lady there, she was 92 years old, was making rice balls with her three or four generations of her family. And the balls themselves were quite like glutinous rice. And I was thinking, okay, maybe
it's sticky
these...
Rice. It's like sticky rice. Sticky rice. Yeah.
But,
yes.
And they, later on we had a meal at the same house and the same... balls of glutinous rice. We use one in a savory soup dish and two as chiba, right? Which are like a sweet balls with the peanut and sugar on the outside as a dessert. So the same ingredient was used as a savory soup and as a sweet dessert. But so it's very, it comes from basic origins, but then they, you know, they elaborate.
Yeah.
Which was pretty good.
Chris just mentioned that one is in Mandarin, it's called tangyuan.
Oh, okay.
In Hakka, it's called banzhan.
Oh, I need to learn that. Banzhan.
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 Yes, banzhan. Huh. That one's very important.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. And the other one is called, nowadays for young generation, it's called mochi. But actually, in Hakka, it's called qiba.
Qiba.
Yes, it's made from the sticky rice.
Oh, because mochi in Singapore, yeah, it's sticky and with the peanuts on it.
Right, that one, yes. One.
Okay, but it's called, what again, qiba?
Qiba.
Qiba, that's why it sounds very different from what we're used to.
Yeah, tastes good, though.
Yeah, it tastes very tasty, So tell me about, what about the Hakka cuisine in Singapore?
Okay, I always want to know, because... Okay, for example, yong tau fu is Hakka, right?
Oh.
But it's so common nowadays, they don't even put the word kejia niang tau fu in front anymore, right? It's just niang tau fu, and then, you know, people might forget that it's from Hakka, right? And there's so many variations, so many different styles.
But you know that one for me is, be honest, when I first went to the Singapore, I had that one. It's a little bit strange to me, you know, because Niang Doufu, the word to me is very familiar, mm-hmm. because the way we have it in Taiwan is exactly like a local, like a Hakka cuisine. We use the tofu, you know, and then we put some like a ground meat, a ground pork in the inside and the deep fry a little bit. Mm. Or the other way is we steam. That's it. But you guys put like everything, not just with the tofu and also with the like vegetables, something like that, right?
It's like someone discovered meat paste and decided to put in everything that they can find.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's why for me, so, but Niang Doufu, which means it's supposed to just with the tofu together, but why with the vegetable?
Yeah, if we can call it, the most original would be literally tofu, right? Because that's the name itself. But now, we have it in bitter gourd, right. Which is like, what? But somehow the meat paste, I mean, some people don't like bitter gourd because it's too bitter, right? As the name suggests. But I think the combination of the meat paste with the bitter gourd makes it, you know, more palatable, makes it, you know, easy to eat. And then we put it in what? Chili, mushrooms.
Yeah, you guys use a lot of sauce together, right? And actually, the sauce became more important than the Niang Doufu itself.
Okay. Yeah, right. And chili sauce, because Singaporeans love spicy things. And so give us a good sauce and just put the meat paste into every vegetable they can find. And that makes Niang Doufu nowadays.
Fun fact, Hakka cuisine may be found in many parts of Taiwan and in countries with significant overseas Hakka communities. In mainland China, Hong Kong, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, India, and Thailand.
It's very interesting, right?
Yeah.
They all the Hakka cuisine, but when they go to the Singapore, it became totally different. Adapt the local culture together.
They try to hide themselves.
Even though in Taiwan, you went to the, followed by the trail, you went to the Hsinchu and Miaoli and Taichung. You also tried the, you see the, they all same as like a Hakka cuisine, but they all look slightly different.
Okay, so I noticed, and I'm photographing the food as well, looking at it from the photography angle, and sometimes the taste was great but the presentation wasn't, so I would just eat that in it and enjoy it, but there were certain dishes that always would be presented, about 5 to 7 dishes. One's the bitter gourd that you mentioned. Another one, my personal non-favorite, was the pig's intestines.
Non-favorite.
The sauce and the ginger taste really good. I didn't chew too much on the pig's intestines. Actually, it was okay.
Yeah.
Another was the kejia xiao chow. So this is the...
That one probably in Singapore, I don't think they do. Yeah, they're probably... Because it just only happened in Taiwan probably... recently 15 years, you know, right before that, it's like it's in normal, they have no name at all,
right?
You know, for the Hakka, I don't know about the Singapore, but in Taiwan, like Chu Yi Shi Wu, you know, like every time, like we have to go to pay the respect for for our ancestors, something like that. Yeah, after that, you know, you put all this food just like mixed together,
right?
Yeah, at that time, there's no name at all,
right?
But because it's so tasty, so that's right. Nowadays became like an iconic Hakka cuisine in Taiwan.
Yeah, it was like bits and pieces. You'd have a bit of squid leg and then tofu and some pork and then some spring onions, all basically just fried up. And that tasted pretty good. And even the rice itself, when that came oftentimes, and there's a story behind it. I know Danny knows the story behind it, but the rice was actually more interesting to photograph because it would have sweet potato in there as well with the rice. Which I actually personally love sweet potatoes, so I was really happy to have this kind of rice. But there's a story behind.
Well, it's a sad story, you know that, because
The Hakka story
it's quite
is
sad,
so
because
sad.
You know, for the in the old day, the Hakka people, it's the living condition quite poor and difficult, right? So that's why mostly we sell in the rice to try to make the money. So but at home, you try to fill in your family,
fill
right?
Your tummy and,
so that's why you knew that the sweet potato is very easy to grow, just a backyard, a vegetable garden, something like that. So that's why you cook it together.
Right.
Yeah, so for the carbohydrates, so you can feed the whole family.
You feel full. But actually, the taste is great.
I'm sure that in Singapore, you guys don't have this kind of... like a sweet potato and rice cooked together?
No, not as much, not as much. So talking about the sad story that you were saying, do we have a lot of preserved food in Hakka culture?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sometimes eating for like 3 months or half a year, something like that. Yeah.
We saw them right at the start drying the vegetables over the side of the road. The shuangchai, right?
Shuangchai.
Shuangchai. Mm-hmm. And these then can be, you see what's the origin of that? Is it a cabbage?
It's kind of a cabbage. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And but you end up finding this in everything in a dumpling. You can notice it, or in a pork stewed pork fat dish with a vegetable. Oh, there's a shuangchai in there in a different stage of fermentation. So that's something that's really useful. But they had other preservatives, right?
Yes, we got so many, but my favorite is, I'm not quite sure about in Singapore, because during the Chinese New Year time, you know, we have to have the hong zhao.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah, the red color, and with the rice fermented together, and after that, you can put like a pork or like a chicken or like just marinated for the 3 months, something
like
that.
I'm getting hungry just hearing you talk
and
about
that. And that one is really good. Yeah, that one is so good.
During Chinese New Year, I'll at least get to eat it 2 to 3 times because different aunts will have their own style of making their own hong zhao. And it's all delicious. We use chicken, and sometimes you put the mian xian inside.
And you know what? It was very interesting because I tried to study Hakka for more than 15 years. Not just like in Taiwan Hakka, I also travel around the world to looking for the Hakka culture. And once I was in the mainland China, and that was the guy, you know, he told me that he's like, he's doing the hong qu jiu, which means like a main ingredient for the hong zhao. You know, he said, whatever, if you use the hong zhao hong qu, which means you are the pretty much like a 90% Hakka. Okay.
How much alcohol is in there?
Some.
You haven't tried that one, right?
I don't think I tried. No,
no, I don't think this time, because normally...
No.
Yeah, it's during Chinese New Year, New Year.
As a sauce.
Yes, yeah, that's a seasonal... Mm. You know.
Sometimes I don't know if my aunt puts whiskey inside because it's just so strong. But very, very delicious.
I believe it's a rice fry. Yeah, mijo.
Fun fact, abacus seeds is one of the most iconic Hakka dishes. They're made by mixing mashed yam and tapioca flour, which are then shaped into tiny balls resembling the beads on an abacus.
I want to ask about abacus beads, 算盘子.
You know what? That one we don't have in Taiwan. Very interesting. When my first time I went to the Singapore and the Malaysia, I saw that a lot of Hakka people, it's kind of like an iconic food for you guys, right?
Yeah.
When you talk about the 算盘子, which means, oh, this is a Hakka cuisine. Mm. But in fact, in Taiwan, I don't find it at all. Mm. But just like I mentioned that the tangyuan, banyan, the way they cook it and the way they make it is very similar. Mm. But you guys use is a stick of rice with the taro to get mixed together, right? And you make it like in the round shape and put a little bit like a...
Yeah, a little dent in it.
Yeah, little dent, yeah. Mm. But basically, the taste, beside the taro and the soup and pretty much like a sticky rice, that kind of taste is very similar to the Taiwan banzhan, the tangyuan. It's very similar.
Okay, because when you say tangyuan, my impression would be it's more sweet, whereas 算盘子 is more savory. Yeah, and it's because of the ingredients that go along with it. For example, dried shrimps, that's very important.
Yeah.
Chicken, you know, they have like all these other things that go, mushrooms, for example. And the abacus, the 算盘子 itself, it's supposed to be soft on the outside. And but once you bite into the middle of it, it's supposed to be more chewy on the inside.
Chewy, yeah.
So that requires some skills.
Yes, yeah. See, that's... Yeah. Remember we went to that family? So that's why they are doing
by hand together.
Well, actually, in Taiwan, for the tangyuan, nowadays for young generation, they might notify it's for the sweet, you know. But in fact, in the Hakka community, we eat is with the salty flavor.
It's a savory one.
Yes, everyone. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you think we should have the abacus beads version in Taiwan?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a good idea.
Good, right? Yeah.
People love chewy things here. was that? What was that snack you had? The chewy snack, the green. I forget the name of it.
Oh, the other one, that one is
that,
also.
That was really,
you know,
that great,
basically
really tasty.
For the Hakka people, the one thing is the main ingredient is like a sticky rice, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why we do the 蒜盘子. We do the other one called 菜包. But in Taiwan, we had in the northern part, we call it 菜包. But southern part, we call it 猪笼板. It's different.
Very different.
Yeah, yeah.
Very
but different. The thing is, like, because the taste is, like, a little bit green color, they had a special the grass, you know, they put on it. It's like a herb, you know.
It's a herbal, because, herbal sticky rice. And then inside it, there was little shrimp.
Little shrimp and horseradish.
Horseradish and a good sauce. Oh, it's like a snack you just buy steamed from the side
I
of the road.
I have once in Singapore. You guys doing the, because I would say it's like a giant dumpling, the kind of style.
Yeah.
And like a, it's a, it, probably like this kind of shape. Mm. And how do I put this?
But you put a spine on it, like you would have on a dumpling, right?
Yeah.
Is it the one where you can see like the leaf, the greens on the inside, it's a little translucent. Yeah, I think I've had that. It's not very common here, but I've had that.
Yeah, and also you guys put some like a mung bean or like a red bean in the inside.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. We do have the mung beans in our Lei Cha Fan as well. So it's one of the ingredients that we add here.
It's easy to talk about food, isn't it?
Yeah, food is great.
Very good,
In fact, after this conversation, where I'm recording, there's a really good Lei Cha near my office, so I can just head over for lunch.
Hey, you know what, Andrew? Next time you should come to Taiwan. You should do comparison with the Taiwan Hakka cuisine and the Singapore Hakka cuisine and Malaysia Hakka cuisine. You know what the difference? That would be very interesting. Yeah,
I really need to dig deep and find where the good Hakka food is in Taiwan.
Yeah, next time you know, join us with our Reckoness.
Reckoness Trail, and you'll find out more.
No, it's not Reckoness, it's Reckoness Selu Trail. Yes, join us, you know, you will see that along with the trail, there's so many Hakka community. Yeah, you can eat very authentic Hakka cuisine. Thanks. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. And thanks for everyone for listening in on this Secrets of the Reckoness Trail on this podcast.
Yes. So see you guys next time.
Don't miss the next episode on YouTube, Spotify, Shock App, audio by SPH, or on ICRT Radio. Thank you for listening to the Secrets of the Reckoness Selu Trail podcast.